Is that matter of wrong motives for serving God? You don't do physical work for God because you want to get him, get a blessing. But like I said, when you do the right things, all right, for God, he will bless. Are you getting my point? You know, again, by the way, for those who don't know this, let me say it to you in case you did not know it before. It's a matter of fact. That is why it is not possible for you to say, God. That's why it's not possible for you to say, God, this offering is for my shoe. It is not possible to say before God, I am giving this money towards my car. It is not possible to say before God, I am giving this money towards my house. No, it is not possible. I preach a message, try and get it if you can. The switch of God's power. And it's like this. Solomon said, sow your seed in the morning and at night continue sowing. Don't get tired. He said, you don't know which one will prosper. Whether both of them are like, we do well. This is a switch of God's power. The continual. The word is what? Continual. The continual doing of good works. The switch of God's power. Christians should realize that. Your whole life. Listen, I'm going to discuss this maybe tomorrow. All right? I was hoping that. Oh no, tomorrow. I'll get it tomorrow. All right? There's nothing like secular and spiritual with the believer. In my book, How to Work for God, I use the word secular. But that's because that's the name language we all understand. But what I'm trying to say in that book is that there's nothing like secular with the believer. What do you mean by the word secular? That the things that are non-church, non-spiritual. With a Christian, there's nothing like that. Everything, your whole life is spiritual. God demands as much dedication, all right, in your secular place of employment as it does in the church that you go to. The wrong thing that we have learned as believers is that, you know, this is just a joke. Something happened some time ago. My chief and I, that's the person who trained me in my postgraduates, a professor now. We were talking one day. So, you know, there was a discussion going on about men of God using big cars and all of that. You know, we're talking about that. It's wrong, it's wrong. I'm not discussing that now, but like I always say, there's nothing wrong or right about it. Somebody said a pastor should have a befitting car. That has no meaning. There's no car befitting for a pastor. A pastor is another human being. If he has money, let him buy a big car. If he doesn't have, let him trek. If somebody can buy a big car for him, buy. There's nothing like, as a pastor, there's a car that befits the title. Arrant nonsense. In fact, I have discovered the car that befits the title pastor most is a B2. Yes, I don't have time to explain. No, I don't have the time. But the point I'm making is that there's nothing like befitting. I don't like B2. I like big cars. The taller they are, the more godly they are in my eyes. In my eyes. In my eyes. It's not in the scriptures. It's not in the eyes of God. It's a personal desire. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, just don't steal it. Do you understand my point? I'm trying to put a balance. In the same manner, don't demand of pastors to drive poor cars. Do you get my point? As a rich man can drive a big car, a pastor can be poor and can be rich. Today I was reading Tunde Bakare's interview. A lot of things. Lattering doesn't pay him. God blesses the man through other means. You are getting what I'm going to explain. If you see him flying first class and owning a house in Atlanta, none of your business. He can afford it, you can't. That's why you don't have. He said, what about poor people? He was not called to remain poor in his life because of poor people. My name is not John the Baptist. I will not live in the wilderness eating locusts and white honey. My wife is dressing up our house nicely now and I'm enjoying it. Enter my sitting room now. So beautiful a place. I will buy the AC for you shortly to air condition the whole place. I'm telling you. Look, nothing spiritual about poverty. Poverty is worse than prosperity. Are you getting my point? Every time God bless people in the scriptures, go and check it. He made them rich. Riches is not the aim of our godliness. Are you getting my point? But if God bless a man, he gives him abundance. God doesn't mind things. God is not a miser. He doesn't manage. That's the interesting part. I told that God, following him is interesting. God will demand of you as a young man to learn how to manage. So if you need 200 naira, he'll give you 198. Then when you have learned how to manage, when you need 200 naira, he'll give you 2 million. When they were in the wilderness, he gave them breakfast and dinner. In the promised land, he said, the land is flowing with milk and with honey. A place where you will eat bread without scarcity. That's God for you. So life is in stages. He can pass you through a stage, all right, in which you must manage. You are going for Bible study. You live at the end of Ogui Road. That morning, that's God for you. He will make sure you don't have transport fare. You know why? He wants to check whether you will be willing to trek to the place of the nourishment of the Spirit. So when I say that I didn't see you today, but they say that I didn't have transport fare, God knows you are not planning to go far in life. Because he knows. He was there last time. It was UEFA Cup Champions Finals. You trekked to your friend's house to go and watch it. It is the gospel time now that we must bring it to your house. That's God for you. When you now read the place, after he has purified you, when next you want to go for Bible study and it is in your backyard, he will bring a limo to take you there. That's God for you. So anyway, this is what I'm trying to make. So that day, just by the way, I like to say things along the line to just teach people, all right? So let me get back to my gist. So that day, my Oga and I were talking. So we said about my minister. I said, why should men of God drive big cars? I said, ma, don't you like to drive a big car? You are driving a Mercedes-Benz right now. Very nice car at that time. I used to drive her car once in a while. Beautiful. You know what she said? He said, those people, they are working for God. I said, what? He said, they are working for God, so they shouldn't be driving big cars. I said, ma, who are you working for? Did you see the catch? Because you're a Christian. Who are you working for? He said, I'm working for myself. I said, my guy, you're making me laugh. The pastor is working for God, but you are working for yourself. Listen to me. In Christianity, there's nothing like that. Quickly open to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read one scripture. I'll close in about 15 minutes. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. How to work for God is what we are discussing. We started by trying to talk about motive. Anything we do in the name of God is not because we are trying to get something from him. We are doing things because they are in our spirits. A Christian is a regenerated person. He's not a selfish person. He's a creature of love. The Spirit of Christ dwells in him. Ephesians chapter 4. Quickly, I want to read a short portion of the scriptures there. He said from verse 10, he who descended is the one, is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, verse 11, and some as prophets that the preachers, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, I like in James here, he says, for the work of ministry. I use the American standard, I say, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Let me stop here. How many people are in ministry? How many people? All believers. It's every Christian that is in ministry. So I told my chief that day, I said, how can you tell me that you are working for yourself? If you are working for yourself, you are not a child of God. Go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Another one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Verse 15. You know what he said? He said he died for all, that all who live may no longer live for themselves. That all who walk may no longer walk for themselves. Are you getting my point? But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That's why I said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. For the believer, there's nothing like secular and something spiritual. That is why it is idol worship for you to be known in church as a diligent church worker, but you are known in your office as a lazy worker. Shall I say that again? No, I think you heard it well the first time. Let me say this. I will develop this one further tomorrow. Listen to this. If God wants to mark register, you know one place he doesn't go to? Church. Christians must hear this everywhere, all over the world. When God wants to mark register, One place he does not go to is church. And he has his reason. When I tell you this story, you understand the reason. God said, you know why I don't go to church? This is how it goes. If I were to show up in your presence and say, I'm the Lord thy God, who came in the flesh, called Jesus Christ, who died for your sake and rose up on the third day just to help you. Now I beg, I'm hungry. Give me water. What do you do? You say, Lord, wait. Why should I give you water? You will order, please, sir, you must take a drink. All I want is water. All right. The water in your house suddenly won't be good enough anymore. You go and buy the best bottled water. Chill it and say, drink. And you will do that even if all you had was only 50 naira left in your life. Do you know that? If God were to show up and say he's hungry, and all the money you have left is 100 naira, and you're about to starve to death yourself. In fact, somebody just gave you the 100 naira, say, eat this one. They use this one to buy something and leave. And God says, I'm the Lord thy God. I'm also hungry. Can I have the 100 naira? No, I'm not even hungry. I'm the Lord thy God. I'm full. But I just like that 100 naira. Give me. Do you know you will give him? So he doesn't come like that. You know what he said? He said, when I'm hungry and I want to test whether you give me, I come as a stranded child. And I say, Uncle, I've not eaten since morning. Hey, go away, my friend. Do I look like your father? Are you seeing? He said, to the least of my saints. He said, in that you did not do it to them, you did not do it to me. Because he asked him, he said, when did we see you and we did not take you in? When were you in prison and we did not come to visit you? When were you sick and we did not help you? When were you hungry and we did not feed you? Lord, you never showed up. No. We will give you anything. He said, wait. Yeah, I know. But I usually show up in the most unlikely places. What am I saying? Every Christian is diligent when he comes to church. Have you ever seen a good Catholic who is sitting down when the priest says, stand up? Before the bell rings, everybody is on the knee. Then they rise. Then they kneel. Then they rise. And they think God is counting. God said, no, I'm not counting. You are a woman, get back home. And as soon as your husband said, are you back? He said, hey, where are you for a day before? God said, you see, all that you're kneeling down was for the devil. All that you're kneeling down was for the idol. All that you're kneeling down was for a building. It was not for me. You see your father in the morning. He comes out, he's washing his own car by himself. And you're a young boy, you are 19. He said, daddy, I bet we get choir practice and they come. God said, you are going to sing to the devil, not to me. You saw your father bent over his own car, washing it. And he said, ah, daddy, I don't know. I get choir practice. Check it. Off you go. Because he's about to go and sing to an idol, not me. You can bow before the Eucharist. But when you get home, your father is talking to you. You're like, daddy, that one at old school. Listen, eh? Because you are bowed to the devil, not me. One place God does not go to when he wants to mark register his church, because he knows that every hypocrite behaves properly in church. If not for these days of Pentecostalism, you know, see as girls they dress for church? Between the reverend sister and the church member, all of them look alike. All the breasts are covered, all the bonbons are covered. It's only Pentecostal churches where pastor needs to raise his eyes when he's preaching. The Lord is good. So God doesn't go to church. You are a university lecturer. God knows, your pastor knows you are a diligent tither. He doesn't go there. It's when you want to mark scripts that he comes to stand over your shoulder and say, hey, boy, we'll begin mark. You don't know he's there. As you are marking, say, this will never buy handout. Give him zero. God said, Gabriel, see why we are going to kill him early? Come. I don't mind this stupid girl. Last time I told her to just greet me. This is how they chase her. Fill up. So listen. My last birthday. You know this boy. And his father is very rich. He didn't buy me a present. Fill up. Ah, this girl. Oh, God. She's not too know. Why? Don't fail. Ah, but Kai, last Christmas, in Papa sent me hampers. Pass. This one bought 3 handouts, one for himself and for his junior ones that might come to the school later. Fast. So pastor will come, oh, this brother is very, very intelligent. God said, well, light, I'm killing this guy before he's 50. I'm killing him before he's 50. No, God said, I'm going to kill him. So when they say, he's dead. What's going to happen? Oh, such a faithful worker. Yes, for the devil. God said, yes, he was working for the devil. He was never working for me. Because we think, Kenneth King used to say that when he wants to check young ministers, whether they are okay, he was quoting one man that doesn't check them in the Bible school. He will visit them without them knowing he's coming. Then he enters their study. He draws a drawer. Are you getting my point? He checks the kind of things they are doing when nobody is watching. When it comes to working for God, listen, my brethren, it's exactly the same thing. You have gone to church. I told you before, I have never understood those who go to church all the time who are not the pastors of the church. I always look at them with suspicion. No, I'm serious. I always look at them with suspicion. That which sin did you commit that you are trying to atone for? There must be. Remember, my wife would remember the day. One day she and my mother were disgusted. We were telling her about one church that one of her friends goes to. They have this 40 or 60 day fast once a year. And there's a particular week during the fast in which now what Yoruba man calls biribiri. You know called biribiri? Biribiri, Yoruba word for fast that there's no drinking and no eating. There's fast in which you can drink water. It gets some kind of way even to drink nothing. So this one, after a few days of going without drinking and eating, said, they are supposed to be praying, though, that they get so weak from dehydration and hunger. And that's like, they can't even say in the name of Jesus, just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. So my mother said, wait, did you kill somebody? Oh, God. My wife had a very good life. Only after we married. Went to visit my parents. No, my mother said, you kill people. That was the way she said it. You kill people. This one that is, when the person is working like this, Nastaga. Staga. Because you think you are pleasing God. No, listen to me. Saints of God, we need to get this clear. One place God does not go to when he's marking register is church. Either because you are an idol worshiper by heart. Most Africans are like that. They are used to shrines. You know that? Our fathers carried sacrifices to shrines. When you were sick those days, as they are giving you the herbs, they carry a sacrifice to the shrine. In Yoruba land, they had this idol. One god they used to worship. They didn't use to worship him, actually. They used to appease him all the time. That's the name that was given to the devil when Christianity came. Ishu. When there's calamity, you have to appease issue. He was such an evil spirit. He will bring tsunami. As you are relaxing from the tsunami, he brings smallpox. As the smallpox is going down, there's earthquake. So they'll go and look for issue to appease him. We have carried all those things into Christianity. We don't understand that Christ didn't come to build us temples. Not come to give us idols to worship. He came to change our hearts. And the number one work, I'm ending today with this. The number one work, let me say it clearly. The first and foremost work, without which every other thing is null and void and of no effect, without which it is just emptiness. The number one work of the Christians is the transformation of your heart. Let me say it again. If you are not actively involved in the transformation of your heart by the word of God, no matter what you are doing outwardly, you are not working for God. That is why I've never understood those who go to church And they are always excited to be in a working group that involves not listening to the message. I don't know that kind of thing. Ask those who know me. If I suspect that you don't like to listen to me, you can't work in Kingdom World Ministries. I won't allow you. I won't allow you. You are an evil spirit. I won't allow you. What are you, Judas? I will not allow you. Hey, listen. You know, there are people, they're very, very good at it. Hey, pastor. I told you, look. Me, the way I do my things, I believe in women, all right, respecting their husbands, as an example. Do you understand? Most of the people I minister to are young. A lot of them are not married yet. But listen to me. Let me tell you loud and clear now, if you're a woman. If you ever come in my presence and say, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Nothing spoil you. I will enjoy it until you marry. Once you marry, and I never see you tell your husband, good afternoon. Next time you come in my presence, if you kneel down there, I cut your knees for your husband. Straight up, all right? Don't do for me what you won't do for your husband. God bless you. Bye-bye. Your husband is deserving of more honor in your life than I am. And if you are truly a disciple of mine, you will have learned that one before then. Can't be traveling in my presence. And you tell your husband, Jumbo, now sit down for that. If you're on my workforce, I sack you that day. That day, you are out. Because the number one work of the Christian is the transformation of his heart. Is that not why people steal and give to church? Because they lied to him that once you bring an offering, Solomon offered a 1,000 offering, God couldn't sleep again. You know, people say all kinds of nonsense. You know, anyway, part of the job of a preacher is to crack a joke. No, it's true. Part of the job of a preacher is to crack jokes. I discovered. Hey, after Solomon gave a 1,000 burnt offering, God shouted, Solomon, I can't sleep again until I bless you. So a man will go and steal. An active rogue. I was telling my wife today about a story I heard my pastor in Lagos told then about the girl counseling her sister or her friend. No, okay, I was telling somebody on the phone. Okay, one brother called me on the phone. And explaining that, look, you know where she makes money from? She sleeps with big men. And she's an active church member. And was telling her sister or her friend that these men don't mind them. Some of them are like this, they're like that. You just take all this nonsense. Anyway, Sha, whatever it is, just make sure you pay your tithes. You hear what I said? I like the kind of thing Bishop used to say, does this. He said there are certain offerings you give that you're only reporting yourself to God. That leads to, I'm a rogue. Here is the process of roguery. That if you didn't give offering, God may have overlooked it. But now you have brought offering, good. At least you know that you have reported yourself. I know what the brother said, who I told that on the phone. He said, that one is a small thing now. I have a cousin. She's a senior pastor in her church. That's the job she does. I almost told you the name of the church. In fact, it had come out of my mouth. I think an angel snatched it away. It's one of the foremost Pentecostal churches you watch on TV, you see around your house. They are around today. Annoying part, she's not even unusual. He told me that one of his colleagues, a senior manager in his office, also a pastor in the same denomination, says that being a pastor does not mean you are holy. Because they know him for his womanizing. Now you see why Jesus said that. They will tell him, I cast out demons in your name. Do you know the reason? Because certain times some of those men will lay hands and people will be healed. And God said, I don't know you. I know you just as much as I know Balaam's donkey. I don't know you. Let me end with it. Number one work of the believer is to actively participate with God for the transformation of his heart. That was why when Martha was complaining, that Lord, look at Mary. She's not doing anything. She's just sitting down there listening to you. You are teaching. She's drinking in the word of life. And her life is being transformed. But there I am, going up and down, preparing rice, fried rice, this and that, trying to make you happy. Jesus said, Martha, relax, sit down. You are bothered and you are concerned about too many things. And only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which God forbid that I should take away from her. So those Christians who go to church, I told you before, I'm very suspicious of those who can't stop praying. Very suspicious. You know why? Because in our modern day, it's so easy. Hey, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Oh, all night, all night, all night. Tell the man, sit down, let me teach you what God said about your attitude to your work, your attitude to your money, your attitude to your boss, to your attitude towards your children, your attitude towards the nation. Let me teach it to you, comply with him. They can't. There are those who are wishing that Yara Adua were dead. Do you know? And they call themselves Christians. Father is the president of this nation, and therefore I'm commanded to pray for his health. God wants to kill him, it's his personal business, but my responsibility is to pray for his health. I have seen preachers, who looked at a church and said, why are you people being so active in the ministry of a man who's not our tribesman? You hear what I say? They say it's the work of God. They say God is also in our tribe. And the man goes around with a big title. Hey, if I tell you the title, just that if I tell you the title, you know who I'm talking about. So I will not tell you the title. And we grab the microphone and declare, God sent me with a message this morning. Nah, that's going to turn your life around. I just say, my friend, will you shut up and sit down? You don't seem to give a damn about this God you claim to be representing in preaching. Listen to me, saints of God. The first job of the Christian is inward transformation of his heart. If you are not actively involved in that, you are not saving him. It's only when that is in place that the other things that we are talking about, are you getting me? Can count. Let me stop today. Let's just give the Lord thanks for today's word. Say, Father, I thank you for your word that you have brought to me. And I want to ask him, give him a request. Make a request of the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to know you. It's a very simple prayer. And I want to be known by you. It's simple. Lord, I don't want to run in a manner that is displeasing to you. I want to walk in a manner that will make you happy with me. I don't want to offer sacrifices that you don't want. I want to offer the sacrifices that are of you. It's a very, very simple prayer. And give him thanks because he has heard. In the name of Jesus Christ.